I'm not going to read this whole story. I preached on the first part of it this morning, so I'm going to start at verse 17. When he, the younger son, came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son." But the father said to his servants, "Bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to be merry. Now I'm going to pick up the story in my message right here. Now his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, "Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound." And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out. Boy, I'm telling you, this story is about the father. Okay, so you get this. His father came out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, "Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come," he didn't call him his brother, even though he was. He said, "As soon as this thy son is come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf." And he, the father, said unto him, "Son, thou art ever with me." Y'all listening? "All that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found." Father, we thank you and praise you for the word of God. Pray that you'd help us, Lord, to speak for God this afternoon. Make this profitable, Father, for these precious people. Lord, I pray that I would hear from you and they would hear from the Lord through me. God, help us. Help us to draw nigh to God. Help us, Lord, to see like God sees. Feel what God feels. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would give to us a fresh burden for souls, a desire to see men saved. We'll give you the glory and honor and praise. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen and amen. You may be seated. I want to talk to you this afternoon for a few minutes on the elder son. This morning, I spoke to you on the father's address. This younger son remembered his father's address and went home. But in this story, there are two tragedies. There is the tragedy of the youngest son cutting father out of his life. There is the other tragedy of the eldest son who remained at home to serve his father without having a passion to know and please his father. I mean, he was dutiful, but he did not know his father. I'm telling you, he did not know his father. This father represents God the Father, as I told you this morning. This elder son represents the Pharisees who had criticized Jesus for eating with sinners. They said, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." That's the reason Jesus told this story. And this tragedy of the elder son is that here is a story about religion without relationship. That's what it is. It is a story about religion without relationship. The problem with this elder son is that his service for his father was a mechanical service. It was a duty to be fulfilled. He did not share his father's thoughts. He did not share his father's feelings. When his father is grieving over his son who has left home, the elder brother is apathetic. It doesn't matter to him. When father is rejoicing over his son's return home, the elder brother is angry.
Yes, sir.
So he does not share his father's thoughts. He does not share his father's feelings. And if we can find examples of this younger son in the world, we can surely find examples of this elder son in the church. His character is manifested in his attitude toward his father and toward his wayward brother. Toward his brother, as I mentioned, he had no concern over his brother's absence. His brother had walked away from home, cut father out of his life, and this elder brother went about his business as if it did not matter at all that his younger brother had left home. You know that there's something wrong in our hearts when we can meet Sunday after Sunday, week after week, month after month, and nobody come home and nobody be concerned about it. That was the elder brother. When the younger brother did not come home, it did not matter to him. It was not something that he was concerned about. It wasn't something that he worried about. His father was concerned. His father was brokenhearted. But the elder brother did not share the feelings or the thoughts of his father. There was no concern over the absence of his younger brother. I want to ask you, when there's a soul missing from the house of God, when somebody walks away from the house of God, when there's a backslider out of our midst, when there's somebody lost in our households, does it bother us? Does it concern us? Is there a sympathy with the heart of God over a soul that walked away from God? Listen. This elder brother was disgusted over the behavior of his younger brother, but he did not have any compassion for what was happening in his younger brother's life. So he said to his father, he said, "This brother, your son, hath devoured thy living with harlots." He was disgusted over the way that his younger brother had been living. But he had no compassion toward this brother who had fallen into the trap of the enemy. Brother, I'm telling you, I sometimes feel, you know, disgust. I do feel disgust when I see the way that sinners are headed in the world. When I see the awful things that sinners are doing, you know, it's just disgusting. When you go out to a place of business to order some food, and the guy that's waiting on you can't hardly talk to you because he's got a bar through his tongue or a bar through his mouth, and he's got, you know, metal hanging all over him, and tattoos here and tattoos there, it's just disgusting. But I'm telling you that our Heavenly Father has a different feeling about that boy and a different feeling about that girl. And God wants us to understand the heart of God and to share the thoughts and feelings of God toward that lost soul. So this elder brother was disgusted, but he had no compassion for the plight of his younger brother. Look at his attitude toward his father.
Yeah.
His father, when his father received this son with compassion, he had anger at his father for receiving this boy back home with joy instead of judgment. He wanted that boy to get judgment. He wanted his younger brother to suffer. He wanted his younger brother to get what was coming to him. And instead, his father gave him grace. His father gave him mercy. And this boy did not share the feelings of his father toward this younger son. He did not know his father. He did not think like his father. He did not feel like his father. He wanted judgment upon his brother instead of mercy. You know, sometimes we feel like Martin Luther, the great German reformer, who said one day, he said, "If the world had treated me like it treated God, I'd kick the dirty thing to pieces." And sometimes we feel that way. But thank God, God doesn't feel that way. Hallelujah. I'm glad God loves sinners, aren't you? And hallelujah. This is what Jesus was telling us, and that God loves sinners. And praise God. And God wants us to share his feelings and toward a lost world that's dying without Christ. So this brother did not share his father's grief. And he did not share his father's joy. Brother, you know there's something really wrong in somebody's heart when they can't rejoice over a soul coming home to God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Hey, listen to me. When you spend your days praying for souls, when you spend your days crying out for mercy, when you spend your days pleading for God to save somebody, you can't help but rejoice. And when a soul comes home, God wants you to share his feelings and share his thoughts to the world that needs help from God. Oh, yeah. You know, most of the people we're going to reach in this generation are not going to look like you or act like you. They come from a different world. I'm telling you. They've grown up in a completely different culture. And if you're looking for somebody to save that looks like you and acts like you and thinks like you, you ain't going to find them. Not in this generation. But God loves souls, brother. I don't care who they are and what generation they're in. They may be disgusting to me and you, but God loves them and wants to save them and show mercy unto them. So the elder son, he did not share his father's thoughts. He did not share his father's feelings. Our likeness to that elder son is evident in our attitude toward lost people. And you know, Brother Mike mentioned this upcoming conference, missions conference. And I just want to say a word about this. There are a lot of people who are very scrupulous about minor things that they find in the Scriptures, but conveniently overlook the greatest command given to the church. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He said, I want you to go make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And teach them all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Brother, the elder brother thinks that's not important. But I'm telling you, in the Father's mind, in the Father's heart, there's nothing more important than that. And this is the great commission that Christ has given to His church. It's marching orders. Go get the lost and dying world. Hey, we can't sit in our churches and say, well, here we are. They can come if they want to. That's not what Jesus said. He said, you go. You go where they are. You go get them. This is the command of Christ to His church. This is the great commission. You know, sometimes separation from the world is more important than our obligation to the world. You know, and I believe in separation from the world, and I believe in a holiness standard, but I want to tell you something. There is something that we owe to this world. The Apostle Paul said, I'm a debtor to all men. He said, as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, and for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And I'm not ashamed of this gospel. I owe something. I'm a debtor to all men, he said, both to the Greek and to the barbarian, to the wise and to the unwise. I'm a debtor. You know that Paul didn't owe those people money. What was it that he owed them? He owed them the truth that God had deposited in him. He owed the world to tell them about this great plan of salvation, and you and I are obligated to this world by the love of God to tell them about Jesus. The elder son did not feel the importance of that. He was satisfied doing his duties in Father's house without sharing the thoughts of Father or the feelings of Father. And you know, when his brother came home, y'all hearing me? Are you hearing me? When his brother came home from that pog pen, so dirty, so filthy, and his life so messed up by sin, and the father thought it worth a celebration that this son had come home. This elder brother was angry because he thought, now listen, he thought himself more worthy to have a celebration than his brother. You ain't never done this for me. You ain't never thrown a celebration for me. And this boy that's come from a far country, and he's spent his living with harlots, you're throwing a celebration for him. This, you see what this brother, in his mind, he thought, I am more worthy of a celebration than my brother, and you have thrown a celebration for him and not me. And sometimes it's easy to feel that way, you know. You get to feeling like I'm really somebody. I've been saved for 20 years, 30 years. I've been in this way a long time. I've served God. I've done so much. And you see somebody being blessed by God that just come out of the world, that just got saved, and you wonder, hey, God, what you doing here? I'm the one that deserves that. I'm the one that ought to be blessed. And instead you're blessing that old boy that just got out of the hog pen. So we consider ourselves more worthy of God's favor than others. And you know, that's a dangerous attitude to get. When I feel like God owes me more than he owes somebody else. Because God don't owe me nothing. I'm telling you. Everything I get is mercy. Everything I get is grace. God don't owe me nothing. Hallelujah. Oh yeah. I was a wretched sinner just like everybody else. My heart was dark and stained just like everybody else's. And everything I get from God is mercy. Now I want you to see the attitude of the Father. Oh, I love this. I want you to see the attitude of the Father toward the elder son. Now we think sometimes, you know, we some of us, we think about that younger boy, disgusting. Some of the rest of us may look at that elder son and say, disgusting. Did you know the father loved them both? The father loved them both. He come out to that boy when he was invited into the celebration and he would not come. He's mad. He's angry. And Father comes out and pleads with him. He comes out and appeals to him. The Father loves that son. He said to him, son, he said, you're ever with me, and everything I've got is yours. And all you had to do was ask for it and I'd have given it to you. Praise God. I'm telling you, brother, God loved that elder son as well. Now listen. Can you see yourself in the elder son? You know, sometimes I can see myself in that elder son. Sometimes I've been to that place where I felt like, hey, you know, I'm more worthy than somebody else. I've been in some of these attitudes that I'm telling you about that characterize this elder son. And I want to say, thank God that God loved me through it all. I want to say, thank God that God was compassionate through it all. I want to say, thank God that He invited me to the celebration. Hallelujah. So I want you to get in on this. Praise God. And I'm glad. I'm so glad. Hallelujah. That God loved them both. Willing to share His wealth with him. He said, if you just ask, we'll have a celebration for you too. Woo! Hallelujah. Hey! We'll kill another fatted calf. We'll call the friends around. We'll have another celebration because God loves you too. Whether you're the elder son or whether you're the younger son, I want you to know God loves you too. And He'll have a celebration for you. But it really matters now. It really matters what kind of attitude you bring before the Father. And this younger son came to the Father meek and humble. Lord, Father, I am not worthy. I am not worthy to be your son. Just make me one of your hired servants. And the master, the father, embraced that boy, welcomed him home, and loved him, and restored him back to his position. And from what I can understand from this passage of Scripture, He elevated him above what he was before he left. If I understand that right, He elevated this boy above where he was before he left. And now there's this elder son. He's a type of the Pharisee. And I'm going to wind up here. I haven't learned how to preach like Brother Randy Webb. He asked for anointment on this microphone. But I want to tell you this story. I'm going to end with this story. There was a Pharisee and a publican that went to prayer meeting. Both of them went to prayer meeting up at the temple. Now the Pharisee, he went to prayer meetings. That was his that was what he did. He's a religious man. He went to prayer meetings. So this was not the first time he'd been there. He'd been there many times before, and he would go there and pray. Now he really did not pray to address God. He prayed to tell God how good he was. Oh God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. Thank you that I'm not an extortioner. Thank you that I pay tithes of all I possess. Thank you, Lord, that I fast twice in the week. Thank you, Lord. Woo! He was really telling God what a wonderful fellow he was. And the Bible says he stood up in the midst so that all the people around him could hear what he's saying to God about himself. So he feels pretty good about himself. He wants everybody else to know how good he is. Now there is a publican that came to that prayer meeting. And that publican is an outcast. I mean, he is in the lowest part of society. And it's probably the first prayer meeting he's ever been to in his life. It was daresome for him to even go there. He's hated, despised. It was daresome for him to even go to that prayer meeting at the temple. But he went. He went because, oh, listen to me, that Pharisee didn't feel no need of anything.
He just told God how good he was. But that publican came because he felt a deep need in his life for God. And over in a corner somewhere, apart from everybody else, where nobody could hear him, he's over there crying, beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus said, now this is Jesus, his evaluation of that prayer meeting. He said, that publican, God heard and answered his prayer. But that Pharisee, God did not hear his prayer. God paid no attention to what he said. But he heard the prayer of a publican crying out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's the younger son. The Pharisee is the elder son. But I'm telling you, in order for the elder son to get what he needs from Father, he's got to come just like the younger son came, saying, God, be merciful to me. I need help from you. And listen to me now. Whenever we get to the point to where we think we don't need mercy, to where we think we've earned God's favor, then we've gotten in bad trouble. We're in the mindset of the elder brother. So every time we come to God saying, Lord, show mercy unto me. Lord, deal with me in mercy. God, show mercy unto me. It gets God's attention. I said it gets God's attention. So I want to do one more thing before we dismiss. I want Sister Judy to come to the piano. And if there is one soul in this place, you know, I know there's sleepy people in this place. Hard to hold your eyes open. You've just ate a good meal, and it's hard to hold your eyes open. And it's I've probably been a little too long-winded on this Sunday afternoon. But you know what? I have done this. I fear a lot of times to let a service go by without giving somebody a chance to get saved. And many, many times, several times that I have given an altar call, just opened the altar, feeling like really there was nobody there that would be interested in praying, and somebody got up and come to the altar and got saved. And so, I just want to open this altar up here, just in case there is a younger son here, and just in case there is an elder son here, that right now you feel like, I need mercy. I need mercy. And you want to come to Father and plead for mercy from Father. I'm telling you, that's all it takes. Oh, glory to God. Woo! That's all it takes. Lord, be merciful to me. That's what it takes. And you can find what you need in Jesus this afternoon. I want us to stand together for a few moments. Father, would you hear us? Lord, would you deal with some souls?